This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Is a very important Ramban. I think that's the Ramban that David referred to this morning, isn't it? The very first Ramban. Let's learn it together and see what it says. Nichtavo ha-parsho hazois. The reason for which this parsha was written. So we see already that Ramban has a problem. His problem is the apparent redundancy of the opening parsha of Vayishlach. The details of how Esav arranged for the gift to how Yaakov arranged for the gift to Esav, every detail is reported. What he planned and how he planned it, the different types of animals, the places, the space he put between them, and so on. Lots of space is taken up detailing the story. Let me just say he arranged for a gift to go to Esav and finish. No, it tells us Izi Mosaim, there were 200 goats with Siyoshi Mesrim and 20 male goats, Chili Mosaim, the Eli Mesrim, the Mali Menikus of Nem Shloshim, Poros Abu. Every detail of what the gift was constituted of is reported. And the Chazal mentioned that he composed the gift in such a way that Esav should notice that he'd chosen the numbers of male and female of each species so that they should be the most efficient for their reproductive potential. So tremendous thought went into this gift, and a great deal of planning, and each part of it is recorded in detail. The Ramban is disturbed what the need for all this is. What do we learn out of it all? What does it come to teach us? Lohidia, to teach us, ki hitzil HaKadosh Baruch Hu es avdoi, that the Ribbono Shel Olam saved his servant, u'ga'olo miyad chazak mimenu, and he redeemed him from the hand of a stronger one, v'yishlach malach v'yatzileu, and he sent a messenger and he saved him. The first thing, the Ribbono Shel Olam saved Yaakov Avinu. And notice that the Ramban refers to Yaakov here as Avdo, his servant. V'lomadnu oid, and we learn further from it. Shehu loy botach b'tzidkosoi, that he did not trust to his righteousness, v'hishtadel b'hatzolo b'chol yecholto. And he tried to save himself b'chol yecholto, with everything within his power. He didn't spare any effort in trying to save himself. There were no shortcuts. There was leaving nothing to Siyata Dishraya. Everything, every detail was worked out. As Rashi brings the Chazal, he prepared himself for three different possibilities. Tefillah, he prayed. Doiron, he gave a gift. And Milchomo, he prepared himself for war. V'yeshba oid remez l'doiris. And furthermore, there is a hint for future generations. He kol asher iro l'avinu im Esav achiv. Everything which happened to our father with Esav his brother, ye ore lonu tomid im b'nei Esav, will always be happening with us, with the descendants of Esav. This is going to be a repetitive cycle over and over again. We're going to encounter the same types of encounters with Esav as Yaakov did at that time. V'ro'ilonu, and the correct way to approach Esav is lecho is bidarko yishol tzadik, is to follow the ways of the tzadik. Shenazmin atzmeinu lishlishis hadvorim shehizmin hu atzme, that we should prepare ourselves for the three things that he prepared himself for. Tfilo, firstly for prayer, with the doyroin, and with a gift, ulahatsolo bederech milchoma, and to save ourselves if necessary by way of war, divroach ulahinotzel, to flee and to be saved. That's the Ramban. The Ramban says there are three things that we learn from here. Firstly, that the Ribbono Shel Olam saved Yaakov miraculously. Secondly, that he didn't rely on the miracle, but did not spare any effort himself to achieve his own redemption. And thirdly, that this is going to repeat itself over and over again in the future, and that we should follow the same route. Rabbi Yerucham asks a very big kashya on this Ramban. He didn't rely on his own righteousness and on miracles, so he prepared himself for prayer, for gifts, and for war. Yosef further on is criticized for asking the Sarah Mashkim to remember him to Paro. He's criticized for not having enough bitochen, not having enough trust. Asks the Rabbi Yerucham, was it really necessary for Yaakov to prepare himself that far? All he's got to do is to show that he's not dependent on a miracle. So surely the gifts were sufficient. He's mispalel, he's davened to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in addition to that, he prepares Doira, a huge gift, a magnificent gift, a very, very carefully selected gift, full of wisdom. Surely that's sufficient, so that it shouldn't be miraculous, that his salvation shouldn't be miraculous. Why did he need to prepare himself for war already? Doesn't that show a lack of faith? Just as Yosef was criticized for asking the Sarah Mashkim to save him, doesn't Yaakov's preparation for war demonstrate a lack of faith? I don't believe that the prayer is going to help. I don't believe the gift's going to help. I don't believe there'll be miracles. I'd better prepare for war. Is it necessary to go that far? Surely it would have been sufficient to prepare the gift and not to go so far as preparing for war. So if one has to use and understand throughout one's life. What was necessary of Esav's nature? Esav's nature was to destroy Yaakov. Halacha, Esav seinei Yaakov. It's built into the Bria that Esav hates Yaakov, that's a fact. And nature would have it that Esav must destroy Yaakov. And that's what his intention was, that's what his desire was. The only thing that could save Yaakov is a reversal of that. Want Yaakov. If he didn't want Yaakov to remain living, he could have wiped him out in a second. It wouldn't have been a problem. So what was necessary was a change of Esav's nature. It says Rabbi Yerucham, to change a person's nature is a miracle. That in itself is a miracle on which you can't rely. And words and gifts don't change natures. Yaakov realized, if I'm not going to rely on miracles, I'm going to have to resort to war, because anything less than war is going to be a miracle. If Esav is going to leave me alone without me winning a war, that would be a nes, that would be shaloka derech hateva. Despite the gifts and despite the pleas and despite the supplications, people don't change their nature without a battle. And I would like to actually subject and submit Esav in order for it to be natural. And so Yaakov understands that anything less than that would already be begeder semchin al anes. That would already be a type of relying on a miracle, expecting Esav to change his nature. That principle is the principle that Eve tried to use. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, Omar Rove, Bikesh Eve lifter es kol ha'ilom kulo min hadin. Eve tried to save the entire world from din, from the Ribbono Shel Olam's justice. Omar Lefanov, he said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Baras Hashoyer Parsois of Sudukus. You created oxen with cloven hoofs. They didn't do it, they can't change it. That's how they're made, that's nature. And you made a donkey with a closed hoof, with a complete hoof. Barasa Gan Eden, Barasa Gehenon. You created Gan Eden, you created Gehenon. In the same way, Barasa Tzadikim, Barasa Rishoyim. You've created Tzadikim and you've created Rishoyim. That's the way the world is. Who can change that? Who can affect you? Who can influence you? That's how you've created us. How can you come and punish us afterwards for what we've done? Just as you can't blame a horse for its cloven hoof, for a donkey for its closed hoof, so you can't blame a Rosha for being a Rosha or a Tzaddik, giving credit for being a Tzaddik. It's all you. Eve says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, what's needed to change a tzroshah into a tzaddik would be a change of nature. Not, it can't be done normally, it can't be done naturally. It would be like the Kriyas Yamsuf, it would be like splitting the Red Sea. It's not. Nature is that it's not split. You want to split it to be against nature, but you can't expect a human being to do that. What did his friends answer him? Yes, you're right. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the Yetzirah, and through that Yetzirah, Rishoyim become Rishoyim. But Boro Lo Tzeiro Tavli, he created the Torah as an antidote to the Yetzirah. We see here, the friends did not answer, "Ear, you're wrong. It doesn't take a miracle to change a Rosh into a Tzaddik." He didn't say that. He didn't say your comparison is invalid. It can't be compared to the cloven hoof of a horse or the closed hoof of a donkey. They accept all that. But that miracle of the change of nature of a human being can be achieved. It is possible to change one's nature. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a tool to effect that miracle. We're not so helpless. It is a miracle, but it's a miracle which we can achieve. And this brings us into an understanding of our whole relationship with miracles. We've often talked how we must not be impressed only by the dramatic miracles. The dramatic miracles are the relatively easy ones. The day-to-day miracles are far more amazing. The day-to-day miracles are far more impelling and compelling on us. And on the one hand, we're not allowed to rely on a miracle. And on the other hand, everything is a miracle. There's nothing that we do which is really our own efforts. You're not allowed to rely on a miracle. So what is it? A man who sells motor cars goes into his garage every morning. What does he expect? Somebody's going to come and buy a motor car. Why should anybody buy a motor car? And if they do, why should they come to him, Davke? Well, what does he expect? Is it normal that should happen, especially in recessionary times? And he goes full of confidence as if it's normal, and somebody comes in and starts asking prices, and he takes it for granted. If he would see the Red Sea split, then he would stop in his tracks. He wouldn't know what's going on. But somebody comes in and wants to buy a motor car, he takes that quite normal. That person can go out, and 2 minutes later the second person can come in. Two people in one day can come and buy a motor car, and he takes it for granted. He doesn't realize what an absolute miracle that is. And so with everything that we do, that we go around, that we're able to maintain and to retain our health, when one thinks, when one understands what could go wrong, the forces that work against us, health-wise, wealth-wise, everything, the forces that work against us, and day after day we live normal lives and we take it for granted. These are miracles. These are the most unbelievable miracles. What does it mean, ain't same canaries, we're not allowed to rely on miracles? We rely on miracles every day. If we didn't rely on miracles, we wouldn't walk out of our houses. We wouldn't get up in the morning if we didn't rely on miracles. So how far do we have to go? This miracle of being able to change our natures through Torah is a miracle also which Yisrael Salanta refers to in O Yisrael, where he says in his 14th letter, Achin Bichlal Noido, certainly acknowledged, in Ki Hanisoyin Yurein, for after all, experience teaches us, Liyoyis Oyved Hashem Yisbar Shemo, Gambe Madregon Niso, to be a servant of the Ribbono Shel Olam, even on the highest level, Bli Limud Amusoli. That can be achieved without learning Musa. You find people who serve the Ribbono Shel Olam on the highest of levels and they don't learn Musa. Achen bat ha'ishapchus mira latoiv bli musovi. To turn around from bad to good, to change one's nature, to alter oneself without Musa. In Musa shmeimi ha'mashabez libi shelodo v'yifachte latoiv. Whether heavenly Musa or physical or downstairs Musa, heavenly Musa is Chas v'Shalom Yisurim, where we result where we have suffering and pain, or our own learning of Musa, to change from bad to good without Musa. It's like expecting to be able to see if you don't have eyes, and to be able to hear if you don't have ears. Explains Rabbi Yeruchim, but Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is saying that would be miraculous. For a human being to change his nature without Musa, that would be miraculous. That can't be. You can improve your nature. A person who is born good can become an incredible Oved Hashem. He can become a most wonderful servant of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But somebody who has impediments in his character, somebody who has impurities, who has problems with himself, those can't be ironed out. They can't be changed. Meirah Atoiv, one can't take a bad characteristic and turn it into a good one without Musa, without either the Musa of suffering, Chas v'Shalom, or the Musa that one learns. There again, one sees the difficulty with which the changing of one's nature is viewed. It's not a simple thing. It can't be expected to be taken for granted one can change one's nature. One can't. It's a lifetime's work, and it requires miraculous means. It can't be done by normal efforts. It can't be done naturally. And so Yaakov realizes that there's little chance that Esav has been spending his time learning Musa. That's not life. On the contrary, he's been in Eretz Yisrael, and he has the schus of Eretz Yisrael. He's been mekayim the mitzvah of kibud av v'eim. All this time that Yaakov's been away, so Yaakov is worried that in terms of his spiritual potency, he's powerful, and he can use this potency and this power either way. He can use it for good or he can use it for evil. Knowing Esav is an evil man, the only thing that could have happened is that in these 20 years he might have worked on himself with Musa and changed from evil to good. That's not possible. Unlikely. That I will come and give him a drosha and I'll change him from bad to good, that would be a miracle too. What's going to be necessary, it's going to be by natural means, is milchama. It's going to have to be a war. And so he prepares for war. But let us understand the correct role that this preparation for war took. We've just learned that one can change one's nature, and one can affect miracles, because changing of nature is a miracle, by the learning of Torah. So one would expect, if one can affect the miracle of changing one's nature, which is one of the greatest miracles of all, says Rav Yerucham, far greater than a miracle of changing the nature of a material object, to make a river flow backwards or to make the sea split, that's easy compared to changing one's nature. If one can therefore affect the miracle of changing one's nature, surely one can affect other miracles as well. And the Gemara says in Brochs Daf Kaf Omele Rav Popel Abaya, Maishno Rishonim the Yisrachish Lehu Nisa, Maishno Anand Elohim Yisrachish Lehu Nisa. I've been trying to work out, says Rav Popel to Abaya, what's wrong with us? There must be something we're doing wrong, because our forebears, one or two generations ago, could perform miracles, and we can't perform miracles. If it's because of learning, Shani Rav Yehuda Kuli Tanuyu Ben Izokim Har, in the years of Rav Yehuda, says Rav Popper, the previous generation, all the learning was in the Zikin. That's all they did, and they never got out of it. Ba'anam Ka Masnina Shisu Sidri. And we are familiar with the entire Shas. We know it all, so our learning is better than theirs was. There have been later generations which were greater in learning than earlier generations, but they didn't have the same potency as earlier generations. And just going on describing how in this generation the learning was greater than in earlier generations. V'ilu Rav Yehuda, and yet this Rav Yehuda, all he was learning was Nezikin all the time. He never got out of Nezikin. Ki avasholif chad misane, he just took off one of his shoes. He was about to daven for rain, and there could have been years of drought, and he was just taking off his one shoe, his first shoe, getting ready to daven. Atimatra, the rain came down already. He didn't even wait for it. We have so and we shout, we appeal to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the less the Mishkan ban, and there's nobody left. So nobody hears. Something's going wrong, there's something we're not doing right, and I don't know what it is, this Rav Popper. So you see, it's not so simple that just Torah alone can affect miracles. It's true that the changing of one's nature demands a miracle, and it's true that Torah is the method of achieving that miracle, but Rav Popper asks, we see that it doesn't always work. Sometimes we can be learning Torah and that does not give us the power to effect miracles. Allah answered Abaya. There's one. Hey, the earlier ones. Havuko Masri Nafshayu Akidusha. The story of Rav Ado Bar Ahava. Chazye lahayi kusis, Havas levisha karbalta b'shukim. Walking down the road, and he sees a young girl, who was a non-Jewish girl, but he didn't know it, who was wearing an immodest piece of clothing. It was an item of clothing, which was considered improper, either because of its color, or because it was too loud. And it was known that that was not the item of kind of clothing which a Jewish girl should wear. Sova de Bas Yisraeli, he thought she was a Jewish girl. Kam Karei Nino, he got up and he tore it off her. He glowed milted the kusi. See, it came out after. Title to wear it. And she took him to Beis Din. Shaimua Ba'ar B'Meyazuzi, and they estimated that the item of clothing was worth 400 zuz, which was an awful lot of money. Probably in our terms, something like 4,000 rand. Omar, though, he said to her, Mashmech, what is your name? Amrulay Matun, she said, Amrulay Matun, she said, my name. Take it easy. Had I taken. Raya brings that as an example of how the earlier generations were prepared to suffer loss and more than that in order to stand up for what is right. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, Milchoma, war, doesn't just mean two people fighting something out and whoever's the stronger wins. Milchoma means a willingness to fight for an ideal which one believes is right. That's milchoma. It's to fight for a principle. To be prepared to go right to the end, whatever it entails, to be prepared to go to a fight. And that's what Rav Ado Bar Ahava was prepared to do. He was prepared to have a fight. Not just to say to a young lady, you shouldn't be wearing that. She knows she shouldn't be wearing that. Everybody knows that a young Jewish girl doesn't wear such clothing. So he realized words are not going to help. So strongly did he feel about it, I'm prepared to fight this thing out. No matter what, she's going to slap me in the face, she'll call the police, she can do what she wants, but she's not going to walk around with a piece of clothing like that. And he takes the clothing off, he tears the clothing. And so when we learn from the earlier Gemara, it's true that there's a Yetzer Hara, but the Ribbono Shel Olam borrow like Tzeira Tavlin, the Ribbono Shel Olam created Tzeira as an antidote for the Yetzer Hara. In order for Tzeira to have its effect, which means in order for it to have miracles to change from bad to good, it needs to be with Mesiras Nefesh, with a readiness to fight. It's that readiness to fight that we need to understand a little bit. A readiness to fight is something which beginning of the action. Ready to fight. Yaakov's preparation for war was not in case tefillah doesn't work, then I'll give the gift. In case the gift doesn't work, then we'll go to war. You see, he didn't first daven and then see whether it worked, and then give a gift and wait to see whether it works. He did it all simultaneously. At one and the same time, the gift is going in any event. The tefillah is happening in any event. And the preparation for war is happening in any event. Wait and see, you might not need it. No way, it's right in the beginning he's preparing for war. Willingness to fight, determination, come what may, even if it involves a battle. That's the key to Hatzlach. That's the key to Siyata Dishmaya. That's the key to miracles. That makes miracles. If one isn't willing to battle, if one isn't willing to fight something out, why should the Ribbono Shel Olam help? You're not willing to go to the end. Why should he be willing to go to the end? The only time the Ribbono Shel Olam will step in is if you've shown that you're prepared to go as far as nature will allow you to go. You're not relying. What does it mean, Ein Semchin Al Hanes? Ein Semchin Al Hanes means I'm prepared to do whatever is naturally possible to do in order to achieve the end. More than that I can't do, then I've got to rely on miracles. But Semchin Al Hanes, the fact that we're not allowed to rely on a miracle, means before I've done everything which is humanly possible, and I've got to show from the beginning that I'm willing to do everything that is humanly possible, then the Ribbono Shel Olam might interfere right at the beginning and avoid me having to go through the whole business in order to do the miracle. Right to the end. That determination, that willingness to fight, which is something that is so lacking today. In many is not an expression of aggression. The willingness to fight if a man's wife and children is being threatened is dangerous. Not only a man, an animal too. If an animal, if a mother of cubs believes her cubs are being killed, fight, and to fight to the death of one of you. Resolve to fight is an expression of endearment and of closeness to that for whom. A lack of resolve at the same time very often we talk about serving the Ribbono Shel Olam with simcha, with joy, with happiness. That's all very important, but the expression of whether we are in fact serving him with such joy is measured in what act of resolve. Love and in the joy. There's a beautiful Reishis Chochma. The Reishis Chochma was a sefer. It's a bit of a Kabbalistic sefer, written by the Talmud of the Moshe Kodesh of Europe. The Moshe Kodesh of Europe was the Talmud of the Arizal. He said, "Ma'isa Amitzus." This is the fourth chiluk of the Shara Va'Arba. In Ma'isa Amitzus, and with regard to the actions of the mitzvah, Chafitzo Yitoreg Mar Amitzus. Desire is the completion of the mitzvah. Kideu Taklit Chafetz Ha'odom Uvukosh. Because the completion of a mitzvah is what the human being is after. Gemara Asiyas HaMitzvah, the labor of the nefesh of a guf, the completion of the doing of the mitzvah with heart, with soul, and with body. V'ho'ed al zeh mi'parshos ha'shevoy se'i rosh. To understand this, look at the parsha. Omar, who says, And he didn't delay, the young boy didn't, the young man didn't delay to do the matter. You know, Miles did. Everybody to the brothers say, on condition that everybody in your family back to them, when their brothers finally said that's it, take it or leave it, then he would have to go back, and it would take him weeks and weeks to persuade everybody to do it. There wasn't the slightest delay in achieving it. Why? The Torah gives us the reason. Because he wanted the daughter of Yaakov. There's nothing that stands before the desire. Because she was the daughter of so great a man. Desire for something, the love of something, like the binoculars, like a telescope, it brings near that which is distant, that which would seem absurdly difficult and impossible. When there's avo and there's chemdo, when there's love, somehow the impossible becomes more possible. If Shem was discussing something rational for which he didn't have a deep craving, and he would be told, yes, you can get it, but you've got to go and make everybody have a deal first, Shem would have said, don't be ridiculous, it's impossible. We're rational human beings here. What do you think? I'm going to go and persuade everybody to have a bris milah because I want to marry your daughter. But he didn't bat an eyelid. He knew he could do it. He would be able to persuade it. So much did he want this that anything would be possible. He could do whatever he wanted. That's the power of cheshek. That's the power of doing something when one really wants it, when one really feels for it. That's altogether, I often comment, the chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That really, if one looked very rationally at what marriage entails, nobody would get married. If one sat down and made a rational decision before, pros and these are the cons, one would go through with the responsibilities. Who needs it? Only because things happen, it's to establish that want is so powerful, that urge, that desire to get married is so powerful that it makes one push aside all the negatives. When that comes in, and a distant goal all of a sudden becomes close, and one does achieve it, one feels not so dirty, and one can achieve it, it is possible. And that, of course, is the dangerous time as well, that telescope has the possibility of bringing things that shouldn't be brought near. That's why you'll sometimes find two people getting married, a Jew with backgrounds or totally unsuited, and you sit down, you'll try and talk rationally, but don't you see the problems you're going to have? They don't see the problems, and there's no way that you can rationally explain to them the problems they're going to have. They're looking through the telescope, and something which is far has become near. It's like standing at sea point and looking at the southern island through a telescope and starting to jump. The chiddush, by a telescope you'll jump, you'll make it, it's possible. That's when miracles can take place, when a human being is so filled with eshek, a human being is so filled with desire that he's prepared to be moser nefesh, whereas he's prepared to give his life. I'll jump, and if I fall into the water on the way, good, so I'll fall in the water, but I'm prepared to make the jump. That's how important it is to me. That can be siyata d'shmaya. I have done everything which I'm humanly capable of doing. The problem for which Yaakov prepared was not just an in case. If the dayrim doesn't work, then I'll go to war. It's right in the beginning, let Esav know with whom he's dealing, let Esav know he's coming to somebody who's ready to fight to the bitter end. And let the Ribbono Shel Olam know that I'm with him. Taking all the physical means which are within one's power is so that it shouldn't appear a miracle. So of course things are a miracle, earning a living is a miracle, staying healthy is a miracle, all these things of course they look like miracles. People will have no free will. People must have the choice of being able to explain miracles scientifically. If they don't have that choice, you remove them together, then people are forced of nature. And most of what happens in the world must be explicable by natural means. So if we come back to our question, and why was Milchoma necessary? Wouldn't it have been sufficiently explicable? The psychologists will surely have been able to explain that Esav changed his mind. If Esav wouldn't have detected the resolve behind Yaakov, not only to give the gift, but if necessary to fight to the end, that wouldn't have been sufficient to change the will of Esav. Changing the will of Esav needs that threat of war together with the offer of the best of peace and of friendship. In fact, love for material things which wins the day of Yaakov realizes from the days of Halitaini Nomin Ha'odom Ha'adom Ha'zeh, give me some of this red stuff and I'm prepared to sell my birthright for it as well. Yaakov remembers how much this man loved him, and how he is prepared. So he might be prepared to sell Yaakov also. To get him to achieve a miracle. It's this hour. Which can bring within their wake miracles that are unbelievable and unheard of. You can open the doors. No, there's no half measures. When the different aura to his attempts and to his efforts. Try, but if it doesn't work, he's going to back into the minute of up immediately. How far go? How he's willing to go before he caves in. So quite far. But not to the bitter end. That clear in your mind. Your written body language and all sorts of things. Everything which is naturally even that both can take over. If you're prepared to go the whole hog, you don't have to go the whole hog. I'll step in. But if you're not prepared to go the whole hog, what should I step in for? And that's why we read over and over again every day, you must be prepared to sacrifice everything you've got, your desires, your material being, your physical being, your life if necessary, everything for your Ahavas Hashem. It has to, the Ribbono Shel Olam has to be served with Ahava, he has to be served with love. Tell us on the curses in Kitovit, the curses are brought about Takas Hashem the Simchul of the Tzuv Levov. These curses are Ribbono Shel Olam. You did serve him, but with a lack of Mesiras Nefesh. If there's a lack of Mesiras Nefesh, there's a lack of miracles. And once there's a lack of miracles, we can't operate. Because everything is miracles after all. It's brought by Chazal that the they show that they were beginning to take us for granted. Everything for it. They were willing to fight for the Avodah. When he saw them, something that nations understand. You have in South Africa the End Conscription Campaign. The End Conscription Campaign is a brilliant mechanism being used by sources motivated from overseas to break the hold of the white. That's not the issue between Russia and America either. Are you willing to go to war? That's not the. Are you going to go to war? That's not the issue. That he worked on throughout the holiday period as well, as we mentioned this morning. In different disciplines, one doesn't have to live in the holidays the way one lives during the year. One changes one seder, one changes the discipline, one changes the order. But an order and a discipline there has to be. The resolve to stick to something, the resolve to finish something, as the Rashi's Chochma said, to get to the end of it. To start is easy, but the resolve to see something through, for that you need love, for that you need Mesiras Nefesh. It's only when somebody loves something that he's not going to allow himself to be distracted in the meantime, no matter what. He'll go to the most ridiculous ends, like Shechem. He won't give a bris milah to an entire civilization because he loves one girl. That's how far he's prepared to go, right to the end, leaving no stone unturned in order to reach his desired goal, provided it's a cheshek, provided there is a desire. And that zrizus that is needed, that determination, that fight which is necessary, is tied in with the Mesiras Nefesh, with the willingness that we have, as we declare each time we say the Shema, necessary to give our life. And if we can only remind ourselves of that every morning and every evening, that we are willing to do that, that if necessary we're prepared to give our lives, how much more so just our kriches, our energies, our efforts, to put up a battle, to stand up for what is right, to stand up for what is true, and to stand up for what is fine, to say a word to somebody if it's necessary, to be sharp if it's necessary to be sharp, no matter what the consequences might be. If that's what is necessary, if that's part of the battle of teaching Torah, of spreading Torah, one's prepared to do it, not just to disappear into some hole and let things lie. If one's willing to give that fight, and certainly within one's own life, to fight oneself and to stand upon oneself and to push oneself and to make sure that we get to the end that we have set for ourselves, and we can expect that it won't be necessary to go to the absolute ends of Mesiras Nefesh, but the Ribono Shel'Olam will step in earlier, and with his Siyata Dishmaya and the miraculous means that he will put at our disposal, we will be able to achieve far, far more than we ever expected before.